You're listening to the Marketing to Millions podcast, the only show to give you real, raw, behind-the-scenes tools and marketing strategies to create a thriving online coaching business. I'm your host, Liz Bohr, the girl who traded in her corporate climbing career to help ambitious thought leaders create a bigger impact using effective and intentional digital marketing strategies. Thanks for listening in. I'm so glad you're here. Now let's dive into today's show. As we continue with this mini-series about shattering the entrepreneurial glass ceiling, throughout this episode, today's guest shares a lot about her own journey and the limiting beliefs she had as she started her business while having a toddler and a newborn at home. Pretty incredible, if you ask me. For me, limiting beliefs aren't ever something that will probably go away. But listen for the tips shared here because they might just help you learn better ways to manage and rewire preconceived notions that could be holding you back. I particularly loved the advice she gives at the end for new moms and for those struggling to balance home life with business life. My guest today, a little bit of background about her, is Ashley Fillmore, the founder and president of Metabolic Fix, a premium online coaching company that has helped thousands of women finally break free from chronic dieting for good and achieve long-term sustainable results using the Metabolic Fix method. With a deep commitment to helping women better their lives, Ashley strives to inspire others to embrace a life of health, happiness, and self-love that they deserve. Those last attributes were definitely portrayed in this episode as Ashley gave us some behind the scenes of where she started and how she grew her company within the last 3 years while having babies at home. Don't forget, you can get in touch with Ashley using the links in the show notes. I'd love to hear your feedback on this type of mini-series. If you could so kindly leave a review in the comments, that really helps me to know if you enjoy this type of content in addition to my regular marketing strategies, tips, and tricks. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ashley, in this very special mini-series. We are pulling back the curtain on entrepreneurship and showcasing what it really takes to be successful as a female founder. So, Ashley, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Yay, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. I would really love to start by sharing as much as you're comfortable with a little bit about what it took for you to get to the level of success that you are currently in your journey. Maybe if you're comfortable, I would love for you to share, you know, one or two big challenges that you had to overcome to get to where you are today. A lot of this mini series is shedding light on, you know, that not everything is going to always go perfect, that we all, no matter the level that we are at, experience some of the same challenges and pitfalls. And if you're comfortable, I would love for you to start by sharing maybe one or two of some of those that you had to overcome.
I would love to. And I'm going to share everything because I do really want to inspire your audience to take action. I know if I can do it, anyone can do it. And after you hear my story, hopefully you'll be able to see that more too. So a little bit of backstory about me. I've actually been in the health and fitness space for over a decade. My undergraduate degrees in nutrition and exercise. I have advanced certifications in hormones and metabolic health for women. And I was working full-time corporate job for many years before I started my company. And so I had a lot of experience under my belt, but I did not know how to be an entrepreneur. Nothing I went to school for was related to marketing. It was all about the nutrition and the fitness. So when it came to being a CEO, running a company, just the behind the scenes stuff that you do on a daily basis, I had no idea how to do those things. And the whole marketing component, I knew that I could help transform people's lives. And if you're probably listening to this podcast, you also have a service that you offer and help other people with. But it was really hard for me at first to figure out how do I take my program, my message, and package it in a way that's going to resonate with my ideal client. because I knew that my program wasn't going to be a great fit for anyone. So I stepped into the online space in 2019. So let's just say I felt really late to the party. I used to use social media for showing pictures of my food, you know, maybe pictures of my dog. And let's just say they weren't even great photos. But I was not using social media as my business at that time. So in 2019, when I decided that I did not want to have a brick and mortar health and fitness facility in person, I decided to make the scary leap into online business. I had no idea what I was stepping into. There have been challenges, but I also did not realize how much I was stepping into something that I was going to love, the ability to scale and grow, the ability to grow and build a team. So there's been so many amazing things as well that's happened along with some of the challenges. So that's a little bit of the backstory. Would you like me to share one of my number one challenges?
Oh, I would love that. But before you do that, I just want to unpack a few things that you mentioned because I really love that you shared them. And I think they're important to bring back to the surface. And one of those would be the thing that you shared about, you know, you had no clue what you were doing. Like most of us, we don't, at least for me as well. I didn't start with an entrepreneurial background. No one in my family had, you know, any sort of entrepreneurship. A few, you know, cousins and aunts and uncles, but that's about it. And I didn't really know what I was doing either. But I really love that you said, even though you had no clue and you were trying to figure it out as you went, you also didn't realize what you were stepping into, that you would find something that you really love, that you would be able to grow a team, that you would have, you know, the freedom and flexibility that you might not have had in your corporate life. And I think that's really important to remind us that although all of these things are really scary, there's also a lot of joy and greatness that comes with the scariness. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't really talk about. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And that's why I really did want to highlight that because, yes, there's been so many things I've had to overcome, just like we all do, right? We all have things we have to overcome, but there's also been so many benefits. I am the first woman in my family to go to college. And so not only did I graduate college and, you know, get a, you know, real job, I also went on to start my own company. And now I'm building a company that I'm incredibly proud of. And so sure, every day I wake up and I make the choice to focus in on the positives. Sure, I acknowledge where I need to improve. But if you shift all your energy to focusing on what you don't want, what you aren't good at, what you need to do better, you know, where you feel like you're failing, it can start to drain you and make it really hard to show up, especially when you're first getting started. So I've always been one to focus on what I love the most, remind myself daily of why am I doing this? This was a choice. And even though there are challenges, there will always be challenges, I think, no matter your income level, no matter where you are, but reminding myself of the why behind it, which really does inspire me to push through those challenging moments.
Yeah, that is a really good point. Reminding us, starting our day with positivity and reminding ourselves why we even started this in the first place, right? Those longer days or maybe those sprints to a specific goal that we're driving towards can feel really heavy. And sometimes I've caught myself like just looking at what my corporate friends are doing now and just thinking like, oh, am I doing the right thing? But then I get a really amazing testimonial or a very thankful review from someone. Just reminds me that, yes, you're on the right path. And yes, you know, this is why I started this for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to shift a little bit in talking about, because I know you kind of mentioned within your business and your role within your company, a lot of the work that you focused on outside of, you know, the nutritional piece is pushing through limiting beliefs and helping women and specifically moms balance that life and business. And I'm going to selfishly ask a few questions here because I'm about to step into a very new season of life, about to have my first baby here in a few months. And for me, I felt, you know, what is that life going to look like? So I would love to hear from you. You know, is balance even a thing anymore? We've started to see a lot more female entrepreneurs bring their babies to work, bring them to those large corporate meetings, bring them into their world and kind of combine life and business. So what is your take on balance and how do we even go about finding it?
Well, congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
And it is such a beautiful chapter of life. And I'm really excited to talk about this because this actually goes back to your original question too, on what were some of the challenges I experienced when I did this. And so really one of the hardest things at first, for me at least, was figuring out, how am I going to do this? 2019, I had a 6-month-old and a 3-year-old daughter. I was breastfeeding full time. And I mean, waking up every couple of hours still. My daughter wasn't eating solids at all when I started my company. So there was a lot of pressure on making sure I was, one, able to take care of her first and foremost. And I remember just feeling so overwhelmed. And I looked around and had many friends around me that were in masterminds, and they had children as well, but they were much older. So they were teenagers or 10 or 11. And I felt like they had so much more time, so much more freedom than I did with newborns and toddlers at home. And even still to this day, my daughters are 4 and 6. So I very much still feel like I'm in the more challenging days as far as just my time being very limited. And so I think you have to compare yourself to yourself. And that's one lesson that I learned, is that success is measured. It looks different for every single one of us. So maybe what you were doing before becoming a mother isn't realistic for you to do when you first start a family and you're running your business. And so the whole work-life balance, I really do think, will vary depending on where you are in your life. And so, for example, when I had a newborn and a 3-year-old, I wasn't working as much in my company as I am now. As my daughters have gotten older, I've slowly built up my schedule, my hours, my programs. But still, the beauty with being an entrepreneur is I have built my business around my life. When I worked for someone else, my life was built around that company, not my life being built around my business. So before I do anything in my business, I immediately say, is this serving me right now? And also something else that's really beautiful is, as your life transitions, your business can also transition. You can phase out programs. You can change programs. You can audit yourself and say, okay, where am I? Do I like how much I'm working? Do I like how my days are flowing? I restructure things at least once a quarter. I look at my schedule. I look at how I'm managing my time. And then most importantly, I look at how I'm showing up as a mother. Because that is time I'll never get back. I can work on this business 24/7. It's not going anywhere. But with my girls, they're only going to be young for so long. And so I really want to cherish those special moments. But at the same time, I don't want to close the door on my business. And I have not had to do that. So I started this with newborn and toddler. And here I am 3.5 years later. And every single year, my business has grown. Every single year. And so you can do it. You just have to make it work for you. Success looks different for everyone. Don't compare yourself to your friends that don't have kids or have older kids or just a different lifestyle. And then lastly, try not to just copy what other successful people are doing, because you may not like the way that they're building their programs. When you get started, you may think, oh my gosh, I have kids at home. I don't want to be doing weekly Zoom calls at 7 p.m. every week. So make sure you're pausing and saying, okay, this may work for someone else. How can I maybe take some of the tips they're sharing, but then customize it to fit my lifestyle and where I am right now?
That's such good advice for me. So thank you. And for, you know, someone listening that might have a newborn or a toddler at home, I really love the piece of that you shared about just reevaluating where you are and how it feels for you as a person. and how it fits into your life. That really is one of the beauties of having our own thing, is it's ours, right? And we can adjust it, we can pivot it to fit into the lifestyle that we are creating for ourselves and for our families. So that's a nice gentle reminder for me as well, stepping into this new season. I'm definitely reevaluating my schedule and just the flow of what my work day will look like. I'm not sure what that will be at this point as a first-time mom, but I'm open to making it work and, you know, having the opportunity and being thankful for the opportunity to be able to flex my schedule around my lifestyle rather than, like you said, the other way of having to fit our lives into someone else's when we're working for, you know, another business. What strategies would you recommend, if you have any, as we are starting to look at, you know, shifting schedule, balancing our lives, and maybe looking at some of those limiting beliefs that might be holding us back from wanting to experience a new season or wanting to pivot in our business?
Yeah. So your first question, one of the things that's really helped me just manage it all is time blocking, looking at my schedule, assessing where I am. What are the top priorities? So with all of us, there are a few things we do on a day-to-day basis that truly moves the dial for our company. And so for me, it was really honing in on what are the dial numbers. There are a million and one things I could do every day. I could sit here today and work until midnight and wake up tomorrow with a whole day's worth of work. And so it is truly saying, okay, I have a family, I have other priorities. What are the dial movers in my company? So I really identify usually 2 to 3 things every single day. And that is the primary objective. And then I zoom out and say, okay, you know, throughout the week, what are the things I need to be prioritizing? That I will time block to ensure that I'm getting those things done. During that time period, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not responding to emails. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not, you know, scrolling on TikTok as I'm doing something. I'm truly in the zone. I actually shut down all other platforms so I'm not distracted. And one of the things, if you're a mama, is having some help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And that is something too, a lot of moms feel really guilty. They don't feel, I used to feel so guilty. I felt like I should be able to do it all. I thought I should be able to get all the work done on nap time. I should be able to build my business, be a great mom, have great energy, be a wonderful wife, and look great doing all of these things. And I finally just realized this is not realistic. So for me, you know, being a newer mom still, I had someone come into my home, which was a big step. Just a couple hours a week so I can have some dedicated time for work that wasn't around the unpredictable nap time. You'll know here soon, it's not always consistent. It happens at different times. And if you're banking on that time, you do get frustrated. If you don't get it, you feel like you're not being productive. And so for me, it was saying, I am still a great mom if I have someone come in and help. I'm a great mom if I have to put my child in daycare or my children in daycare for a while. I'm actually going to be a better mom. And that's what I realized when I reached out for help. So don't hesitate to reach out for help. If you have a mom, a parent, a mother, father, whomever, you know, a friend, daycare, a nanny that can come in, do not hesitate. Get help. You're not a bad mom. You're going to be a great mom. Because what happened to me is I started to feel like I wasn't able to show up fully in my business, which was a disservice to my business. But then I also felt like I wasn't showing up fully as a mother, which was a disservice to my children. So then you feel really incomplete because you feel like you're not showing up anywhere well. And so just asking for help, it's okay. You don't supposed to do it all. You don't supposed to know how to do it all. So I think initially even saying, where do I need support? You know, where areas do I need support? For me, I needed childcare. I needed someone to help me with cleaning. And I also needed a business coach. I needed someone that could mentor me and teach me the ins and outs of how do I take this brand that I have that I'm so passionate about and turn it into something online. And so asking for help, that was huge and something I used to feel very shameful about.
Yeah, I think I felt like that too in my own life. Especially moving from, I started in corporate as well. Moving from corporate to, you know, having my own business is, I kind of felt like, you know, I could do this in corporate. Someone was paying me a good salary for doing this. Why can't I figure all of this out? You know, and I have a marketing background, but why can't I figure all of these other pieces out that I wasn't so sure about on my own, right? And I think that's a female trait that a lot of us fall into and are, can be guilty of at various, you know, stages, whether that be in our business or our lives. And that has been pivotal for me as well. Just asking for help, whether that be, you know, my husband taking the dinner routine and being responsible for dinners a few days a week, rather than, you know, I'm working from home, obviously. So I, of course, could be the primary chef in our household every single night. But for us, it was, okay, here are some days that I'm going to maybe work a few extra minutes, or, you know, maybe an extra hour while you're preparing dinner for us. And that's helpful for me to just be able to close down my work day. So I can see how those other elements, asking for help in areas where someone else could do it better. Right. And that's, I think, the piece that we all forget about is we don't have to be amazing at everything. It's so much more fun when we can work with others and have that support. And for me, it feels a lot lighter and it gives me the opportunity to have my mind be open to new opportunities when I'm not feeling like I have to be the juggler of all the balls in the air of everything that's happening with our life. Do you think that's a limiting belief that a lot of women have, or do you think that's a more of a cultural thing that we place on ourselves?
I think it's obviously a bit of both. I will say, just interacting with, you know, different friends. So we have clients from all over the world. And one of the things many of my friends that don't live in the United States will say is, wow, you guys are workaholics. You never take, never want to rest. You think you have to do so much all the time. Just like, chill out a little bit. Don't do as much, you know, enjoy it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was like, wow, well, I guess that is kind of true. But I did grow up thinking I need to do it on my own. I can do everything, you know, similar to your story, being home and being the woman of the house. You know, I guess I can make dinner. I guess I can do all the laundry. I guess I can do all of these things. But for myself, especially as we started to build a family and as my business started to take off more, I just didn't have the hours in the day. I couldn't do the laundry, mop the floors, make dinner, take care of the kids, breastfeed full time, run a business, grow a business, you know, and it just wasn't. And it's also not healthy. And that's something else I want to highlight. Like you said, is let's really focus in on what we're good at and then delegate things we're not great at. And also just make sure we're not forgetting about ourselves. Even as we're building a business and taking care of our children, the number one thing I've realized throughout this process of being a mom and now running a business is I have to take care of me first. I can't show up well as a business owner, as a mother or a wife if I'm not healthy or mentally happy and healthy as well. And so it's a combination of physical and mental health for me, and making sure that I'm not neglecting myself, because it's easy to grind and work nonstop and work 7 days a week. And, you know, on the flip side, never take a break in your household, never prioritize yourself, put your family's needs before your own. And, you know, when you look at yourself several years down the road, you're tired, you're depleted, you don't feel great. It's probably hard to do the basics every day at that point.
And then it's almost like, what's the point, right? If we aren't healthy, both physically and mentally. I think it's important to note that you shared mentally too, because, you know, for me, physical activity is a mental activity for me. Challenging my mental is really important for my self-care routine. If I don't have that, at least, you know, every other day, a little bit less now because I'm getting close to the end of this pregnancy, but if I don't have that, I can feel it. I can feel my emotional, my mental state change when I haven't gone through that morning routine that I, you know is very important to me. And something else that I wanted to share just about delegation is, it was kind of funny as you were talking, I was reminded of a story my sister and I shared the other day. She was talking about weeding her flower beds, how she feels it's really gratifying to weed her flower beds. And I told her, it's very gratifying for me as well when my lawn care people weed my flower beds and they look just as nice. And I was just reminded of that story because, you know, for me, that's not something that I enjoy. I do not enjoy lawn care. I enjoy a nice groomed lawn and it looking nice, green grass. But for me, I don't need to be the person that actually sits out there for hours in the hot heat and pulls the weeds. You know, some people might call that privilege. Some people, you know, might say, well, you could do that yourself. Sure. Yes, I could. But I'm going to work a little bit harder so that I can pay someone to come to my house every other week and take care of that for me. And it will look just as nice.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Actually, a little story. So 7 years ago, when I was pregnant with my first daughter, I was in the last trimester, so pretty close to where you are. And I love my house just being really neat. It's just my personality. And I started to get really anxious because I'm thinking this new baby's coming. We have all these things. I'm going to be a new mom. I'm breastfeeding. And, you know, the list was going on and the anxiety was rising. And so one of my really good friends said, I'm going to give you some information. Here's the lady that cleans for me. And she's amazing. She'll do a great job. She'll come out, give you a quote. And so I talked to my husband and I said, I don't think this is going to be a good idea. I can clean my own house. I've been doing this for a long time now. I don't need help. Yeah. So she comes out. The intent was to keep her for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And that was what we initially budgeted for. Well, here I am almost 7 years later. My oldest will be 7 this summer, and she's still here with me. The one thing I realized is that when I was cleaning, I was rushing and not doing a great job because I was exhausted. I wanted to move on to the next thing. This is her business, and she loves what she does. She loves it. She loves her job. She loves her clients. She is very select about who she works with, and she loves working with me. And we're great friends now, but she does a much better job than I do. Much better job. She spends hours doing it. And it also allows me to spend my time doing things that I love. And like you said, I would rather work a little harder to delegate something that I either don't have the time and energy to do or just don't really enjoy doing. So totally agree.
Right? We can get the same outcomes right. with just a little bit of help. Yes. I think you and I are on the same page there for sure. All right. So what advice, I guess, as we wrap up here, what I would love to hear from you, what advice that you might give to someone in the beginning stages of their business? Maybe some people are struggling with mom guilt or finding that balance, or they're just struggling to, you know, grow their business. They've been at the same stage for a while. What is some advice that you would give them from your own experience?
Yeah. So one thing I really want to mention is, and this is something that I learned really early on, but I think when you're stepping into this field, if you are new, similar to me, I didn't have a big social media account. I didn't have an email list. I had 0 email followers, very few social media followers. And I really did feel like the underdog. I felt like a little goldfish in a really big ocean with a lot of big sharks. And it is very overwhelming. And you kind of feel like there's no way you're going to survive. But the one thing I want to say is likes and followers does not equal a successful business. I've proved that to be true. You know, when I first started my company, I had less than 1,000 followers. Now I just have about double than that. And I will say that likes and followers do not mean that you have or that's the only metric you need to pay attention to if you want to have a successful business. Because if that would be true, I would not have a business right now that would be successful. And so I think looking at that as a metric on, you know, how well your business is going to do is not a great way to measure the success of your business. So if you're just getting started and you don't have a big audience, I hope that inspires you because it is not something that you have to have. Build trust, build authority with your audience, and you will see what will happen even with a small following. And then
when it comes to being a mom, I really also want to encourage, just make sure that you're taking time for yourself. Build your business at a pace that is sustainable for you and your lifestyle. And don't hesitate to change things if it's not serving you. This is why you have a business. This is your business. You can do things the way that you want to. And again, make it mold your life versus you feeling like you have to fit everyone else's schedule and, you know, your working hours that don't work well for you. Because here's the thing. For your business to do well, you have to have not only, you know, great experiences with your clients, but you want them to stick around. The way your people are going to stick around is when you're showing up and you're doing really good at what you're doing. So for me, I know working at 10 p.m. at night is not going to be me being the best coach I can be. And so being able to step back and have boundaries in place to ensure that I am respecting my needs and my family's needs has really allowed me to thrive and also helped my clients have an amazing experience, feel like they're being respected and still getting quality service. So don't hesitate to have boundaries. Make sure that you are honoring yourself and showing up when you can be the best coach, best leader, best CEO.
Such good advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love the boundary piece and kind of setting expectations for those that you're working with so that you can uphold your own boundaries. So before we move into sharing all about the amazing things that Ashley is doing, I wanted to go into the part of the show where we share a quick affirmation. This is something that I am starting doing for this mini series. And what I do is just pull an affirmation before we jump on and record. And I'll put this in the show notes as well. But I just wanted to share this affirmation because today's affirmation really aligns with the conversation that we've had. And today's affirmation is, I release my doubts and insecurities. Every day I am building a successful company. Being my own boss is a responsibility that I handle with care, and I will take consistent forward action each day toward my goals. And Ashley, you shared a lot with us today about how we can set those boundaries and how we can mold our businesses to fit around our lifestyle and the lifestyle that we hope to create for ourselves and our families. And I think these affirmations really speak to the responsibility that we have as a business owner, but the opportunity that we have to make sure that what we're doing feels really aligned. And if it doesn't, we can mold and pivot and we can grow in various forms. We don't have to conform to what culture tells us that we should or have our business be just like someone else's because that's how they're being successful. There's a lot of different ways. There's billions of people on social media that we can have and attract as our potential customers that we can work with. And so there's no shortage of abundance of opportunities if we believe that they are there and if we put in the work to seek out those opportunities and be open, hearts open and minds open to achieving that level of success that we are so longing for. So that's our affirmation for today. Ashley, as we wrap up, I would love for you to share where people can get in touch with you and one exciting thing that you are working on today.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. I love it. I'm always hanging out there. That's my platform of choice. My handle is Ashley_Fillmore1. And I am super excited about some in-person retreat. I'm going to be doing an in-person retreat, hopefully in 2023.
Wow, so, that's so exciting. In person again.
Yes, I know. I love people. I love my online business, but I love people and love connecting, love inspiring, and just literally putting my, you know, everything I have in me, all the hope, all the energy into them. And so I'm that's something that I'm hoping to hash out fully and be able to launch in 2023.
That is super exciting. I will be hoping and praying for you that that in-person event comes to fruition because I myself am feeling just a little bit like I'm ready to have some in-person events again. I'm ready to get those connections, meet some people. I work out of my home office or third bedroom, if you will. So I can, you know, I'm feeling the loneliness a little bit, and in-person events sound wonderful. So I hope that you have an opportunity to host that event, and I hope even more people will start hosting in-person events. I'm not at the stage where I'm ready to host one, but I love going to them. So I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me today, bringing your energy and sharing all of the ins and outs of your experiences throughout your journey so far. I will be cheering you on, huge fan, and I'm so grateful for your time today.
Thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Thanks. Hey there. What did you think of that episode? If you enjoyed it, here are a few free ways to help support the show. First, you can hit the follow button so you never miss a new episode or any bonus episodes that I create for timely advice. Secondly, if you screenshot the episode you're listening to and tag me on Instagram at lizboar_com, you'll be entered to win a special prize. And the prizes are really good. And lastly, reviews are one of the best ways to provide social proof to others that this show is worth a listen. Plus, it gives me an idea of the content that is most helpful to you. Feel free to include your podcast or Instagram name. I'll give you a shout out during a future episode for more exposure to you and your brand. A huge, huge thank you in advance.